will come now and fill up these two men that you have invited to speak to us tonight. I pray that you will give them boldness and confidence and ears to hear and mouths to speak, and give us hearts to receive too. Amen.
Amen. No, seriously, he actually forgot to get it. So the old age, it kicks in and you're sitting. Are you all right?
I'm all right, yeah. I've got a bad leg.
Yeah, he's got a bad leg. I'm going to stand to sort of show off my youthfulness. But no, yeah, look, guys, honestly, I feel massively privileged because I've been coming to the mix for a long time, and just to get to actually share kind of is awesome. And I feel even more privileged to have my favourite dad around. Yeah, you look good, man.
Thank you, Joey.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, this is all secondhand clothes here I'm wearing. It's good. Got them off my mother.
Yeah. So now, as Rachel's already said, we're going to be speaking on a slightly sort of Olympic theme. It is a shame the torch isn't here because it's really cool. Like, a guy from the church did some running and he
Philip Leonardo, he carried the Olympic torch and he got it. He bought it and kept it in his house. And he said, I could bring it tonight. I said, I'll pick it up before the mix. He said, don't let them touch it, but you can pick it up and bring it. And I forgot it. Sorry.
But it doesn't matter because that tonight is all you need to know. So yeah, Rach said we're going to be talking about what does it mean to pass on the baton to another. And I hope that it's engaging. We're going to amble through it, aren't we? Side by side, father and son. And I really hope that you guys can go away and feel like, yes, I want to get involved in this passing on thing. That's the hope, really, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah. So, who are you?
Well, it's David. About 100 years ago, my dad was born. And it really is. I was just thinking just now, it's almost 100 years ago, my dad was born. That's a long time ago. And my dad was a minister, a Methodist minister. He was a really good Christian. And I really love and respected my dad. He was funny. He loved people. But it was also very embarrassing growing up having a dad who was a minister, like a vicar, because first of all, he'd wear clerical collars and it wasn't cool to be a Christian, you know, when I was growing up. So I just was a bit embarrassed about that. And I suppose I was a little bit surprised to find myself doing the same sort of thing as my dad. But I guess that in some ways I picked up his baton, because for my dad, the greatest privilege he felt in life was to love Jesus and to serve him and to serve the church as well. He counted it as a real privilege, and he passed some of that on to me. And for me, it's a wonderful thing to have sons, and a son like Joey, who also wants to serve God and is kind of a minister in the church too. And, you know, when you're a dad, until your kids are 5 or 6, they think you're great. You know, until Joe was 6, I was a better footballer than him. Probably. Almost. And it's like my son Robin, you know, probably until he was about 12, I was a better guitar player than him. But there's nothing that gives you more joy than a dad is to see your kids go beyond where you've gone, do more than you've done. And if that's true in things like football or guitar playing, it's even more true in terms of what it means to pick up that baton of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And when tonight, when we think about what it means to pass on the baton, what we're thinking about is that the baton, for you guys and for us, is all that's tied up with loving Jesus, following him, serving him, and being lights for him in the generation that we're in. So that's what we want to think about. How do we do that?
Yeah. And for me, it's quite funny as well, because when I was growing up, my dad was a pastor of this church. He's heading up Woodlands. And I found that horrendously embarrassing. Like, I really did. I don't know why, because my other brothers, Perrin playing drums, Robin, Ben, the little one, none of them seemed to find it as embarrassing. But for some reason, I thought, oh, if I want to be cool, which I did, that the whole dad being a pastor thing wasn't. So I'd lie. I'd say he'd play football on the downs for a living. I said he was a caretaker. I said he was a hamster. And I'd say anything really, just to sort of divert the attention away from the fact that my dad actually was a pastor. And yeah, again, like, massively surprising. And I guess because I found God and found a love for him and found a desire to follow Jesus, I've actually ended up, like, similar to dad, you know, I'm working in Woody's as one of the youth pastors here. And it's funny to think that, yeah, I am taking on that baton. But a bit like dad, I didn't see that coming. So it's pleasure to be side by side. And
amen, amen.
Yeah, feel free to amen along tonight or say I agree, or I'd really like that. So I guess we're going to look at like what does it mean to receive the baton. Going to be using a few sporting analogies, a few relay analogies. And I think the first thing is, in a relay, has anyone done a relay here? When sports day? Next week? Who's running it? Some of you will run that, and I really hope you do well. I was always number four, the quick one. And for me, as a relay runner, you've got to be ready to receive the baton. Sounds obvious, but if you're there just sort of, do you know what I mean, picking your nose casually, chilling out, and then my man's running behind you, that's not going to happen. That's going to be a clash. So the first thing we want to say is, you've got to be ready to receive the baton. Do you know what I mean? Just, in it, hands out, arms, legs, buttocks, poised, you know? And for me, that looks like this. Hey, you guys, you're in the race. You are in the race. You know, if you're up for following Jesus, if you're up for being a Christian, you're actually automatically in the race. If you're not up for that, you're most welcome here. And there's another race that's going on in the world. But this is the specific race we're talking about, following Jesus. And you need to know, as a young person, you're in that race. You're not just on the sidelines watching till, you know, the big guy keels over. Sorry. You know, it's not like that. It's not like we wait as young people till the older generation pass away. We're in the race right now. And that's like that's one of the main things I want to say to you guys tonight. You are in the race, and you need to know that. And you actually need to be ready to receive the baton. And it's not like ripping it out of his hand. Like, you never see that in a relay team, do you? You don't see number three going to number two. You know, it wouldn't work. But you've got to be ready to receive. And part of that for you tonight might mean having to actually tell your church, minister, pastor, hey, I'm in the race. That might be what you need to do going away from this time. You might need to tell someone, that remind them that you're in the race. But the number one thing to be ready to receive the baton is that you are in the race, I think. You are.
Yeah. I think a problem sometimes that older people like me have about young people is that we want to make church safe. And we sometimes think, well, we need to protect and educate young people, and we need to, you know, give them some time to do their thing. But probably church needs to be a dangerous place, and it needs to have enough danger to be exciting, because danger and excitement belong together. And Jesus, when he called people to follow him, he picked young people, and he knew it was going to be dangerous. In fact, he said to them things like, you know, I'm going to send you out like lambs among wolves. And he wasn't afraid to give them challenge and danger. And so for the challenge for me of being a pastor with young people is to say, how do I not overprotect young people? And how do I make sure that there's some real risks that they could take? Because it's only when they take those risks they're really going to know they're in the race and know that they need God's help and God's power. And I think that the danger is we can do church and it looks like we're all just watching a few people do it. Mm. Whereas the thing about this race that we're in is you have a message to share that you've got a responsibility to share with your generation. But also, part of the message is who you are. The messenger is also the message. So the way that we live our lives, we've got to live like an athlete who's always training, always getting ready for the big moment. But knowing that you can't switch off. You know, you can't not be an athlete. If you're going to train for the Olympics, you don't sort of, like I did for the Bristol 10K run, sort of turn up on the day and think you can do it. You know, I've been having a curry the night before, whatever it is. You're in training, you're ready. And for you, I'm going to say, you've got a message to share, but you are the messengers. You need to be in training now. You need to be doing it now.
Yeah. And actually, like, you know, your church leaders probably, like Dad, want to involve you. And they might be doing that. And if so, that's awesome. Celebrate it. But they might also be really struggling to know how. So, I want to recommend you go back and you quote this guy, Paul, who wrote in the Bible, who was writing to a young man. And you say, hey, Paul said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. So you say, hey, don't look down on me because I'm young. I want to be involved. So if you're up for that, grab that and take it home with you. kosher.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so we're going to see a clip now from the Olympics some years ago. One of my favorite Olympic moments ever. Feel free to get excited. Hopefully this will kind of get us all, you know, a bit going. So yeah, roll that bad boy. And I'll just interrupt when I want it to stop. Great Britain running in the 2004 Olympics. Good changeover.
Come on, Great Britain!
Last 100. Mark Lewis Francis. He's going! He's going! He's going all the way! Can he do it? That's the goal, guys. That is the goal. Did anyone remember that? 2004? Anyone with me? I was ecstatic. I'm not that into the Olympics, more of a football man, but I was absolutely ecstatic because we beat the Yanks. I love Americans. If you're American, I love you. But we beat America and it was huge. And around that time, people were like, what the heck happened? Because Britain were not expected to do well in that. You know, America had Maurice Green, loads of other people I can't remember. And and it was this whole thing that what happened in that race was one, America's changeover was sloppy and slow, and two, Britain's changeover was ruddy brilliant. So it was very much, you know, one. Yeah, and the second analogy I want to say for this passing on the baton is actually we need to be running in time with each other. We need to be running in sync with each other. And for me and Big Papa here, that's very much true. We need to run in sync. We need to run in time. And I think the number one, how we do that, a little bit like those lads running, I think they chat, they dialogue, and they practice together, and they dialogue more, and they practice together, and they say, hey, what aren't we doing well? What are we doing well? And then they practice it. And I'm really passionate about dialogue. I enjoy a chat, you know? Please, chat to me anytime. I enjoy it. And I love to sit down with Dad and go, hey, what's on your heart at the moment? What's God saying? What do you think about this in the church? What do you think about this in the news? What do you think God's got to say about this? And actually getting his perspective and then sharing mine. And I really believe that for you guys and girls, sorry, when I say guys, I mean everyone, but it's in my head. You know, I want to encourage you to go home and to just get that chat going with your leaders, your elders, your youth pastors, whoever is older than you, or younger, just get chatting and just say, how do we do this church thing together? How can we complement each other? And I think, honestly, like when we see dialoguing happen, we'll see like unity happen. And Jesus says something very important about unity. He says, when unity happens, and unity just means people like working together, loving one another, that's when people will see God. Well, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? So that means when disunity happens, people don't see God. So the fact that the church in some ways is quite divided and in some ways the generational gap's quite big, sometimes people are missing God in that. So I think we've got a responsibility to talk and to dialogue. And I know you're really pumped to actually involve young people more in planning. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. In the Bible, one of the last verses in the Old Testament just simply says, I'll come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents or the fathers to the children. Hearts of the children to the fathers, unless I strike the land with a curse. It's almost kind of saying that unless the two generations can really work together and have a heart for one another, there's going to be a curse. There's not going to be blessing on the land. And I think you can see that. But if there is unity, then there is blessing. And we as generations can exasperate one another. I remember when Joe was young once saying, you're a disgusting old man. And that was how he felt at the time.
I can't remember why.
But at the same time, we can be really close, but we do have to listen. I have to say, it's really important to give time to Joey. It's really important that I can begin to see the world through his eyes, not just expect him to see the world through my eyes. And we've both got to listen to one another. It's like in a relay, I guess someone's got to slow down a little bit and let someone else catch up and take that. And we have to listen to one another. So, yeah, we do have to talk to one another. Older people need to talk to younger people. Younger people need to talk to older people. And we've got different things to offer. In the Bible, this bit in that in the letter of John, it says, I write to you fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you young men, because you're strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. He's kind of saying, like, fathers, you know, you've got some experience to share. You've got some wisdom. You've actually done some life. You've actually got some knowledge. But I'm saying to you, young men, you've got some passion and some energy and some fight in you. And together, you're going to have some victory. And I think that's what we want to do. We want to see the fact we've all got things to offer when we've worked together. But young people, I believe that you as a young person will carry some freshness and some faith, some idealism. You'll say, why not? Have some energy. You know, when I was a young person, I started working in a church when I was 23. And just in my teens and 20s, I thought, why can't we win the whole world? And we need to have that kind of reckless faith and go for it. But we also sometimes need a bit of perspective and support and resources and wisdom. And so we just need that old and young in synergy together, working together. And Bristol really needs that. We need it.
Yeah, and I do honestly think that there are a lot of older people who are quite nervous of young people. I don't know if you've ever picked that up, but I think there is this thing that because the gap has got a bit wider, there's almost less interaction between older and younger. There's sometimes a bit of fear. But Dad, you, what do you really like about young people? What do you think is inspiring about young people in general?
I think there is a fact that young people learn stuff so quickly. You know, take an old person like me and try and teach them a new bit of technology skill.
What's happening?
Oh, that mobile phone, that was hard for me. You know, in a sense, you know how it is. When you're young, you absorb stuff like a sponge. And because the world's changing fast, we need people who can respond to the changing world really rapidly. I love the idealism of young people as well, that they say, well, why shouldn't we be recklessly generous? Why shouldn't we make sacrifices like this? Why shouldn't we go for that? And so often young people, they're at the forefront of fundraising for the poor, going and doing amazing stuff. And young people think they're not going to die soon. They're indestructible, you know? Whereas old people like me, you get a bit cautious sometimes. And we need the recklessness of youth as well.
Yeah. And let me tell you what I love about you and people who are older like you is that you're faithful. I think, like, I love that my dad has been serving in Bristol for how long?
Ooh, I don't know.
How long have you lived in Bristol?
Certainly since 1980. Yeah, well,
what is that? I'm not good at maths.
No, I don't know.
What?
20
plus 30, years?
30 years.
30 years. And I think that's so inspiring for me to think that this is someone who's seen the city grow, seen the city change, seen what God's done in it. And actually, the older people in your life, I encourage you to get around them and say, hey, what's your experience? What was it like him? What was it like now? And the faithfulness that older people show is amazing. And I think the experience, I love, like, I talk to my gran, and I love hearing, like, what her, like, view is and, like, how it's changed. And, yeah, I think an image that is quite good for what we're talking about is we need young people to go out there and make loads of mistakes and do loads of cool stuff and be really risky and then come home and be able to, like, be comforted and be counselled by the elder. Yeah. I think that's quite a nice image. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
I just made it up, so it's just
a good one.
Yeah, it might not be. Yeah. And so I'm very passionate, very excited about when old and young can complement each other. And it so is both ways. I know so many energetic young people, I mean old people and vice versa. But I think the thing that the third thing we just want to say, and we're just going to finish up here, is actually, as someone in a relay, when you receive the baton, you always run onto new things. You run onto a new corner, you know, you run onto new territory. And actually, that's really true in this analogy. As me, I'm running onto new things that my dad's never run onto. And that is that's scary and exciting. And as you guys know, the world is in a really different place than it's ever been before, you know. There's a lot of challenge facing us as a younger generation. And there's a lot of potential scary things, but I think as we run into it, we can run with confidence. And I think two things that are really going to be different for our generation is, particularly in Britain, is number one, that the environment is a bit of a mess. Like, you know, you think the world, you know, I'll let you say what you say, but it feels vulnerable, the world, doesn't it? Can I get a few nods if you agree? You know, we're hearing stuff all the time. I'm not a scientist. I've never claimed to be. But, you know, I'm sensing that the world needs a bit of care. So I think as Christians and as people, we need to, like, run on to looking after the environment better. And I want to encourage you guys again to think about how you can do that. And I think the other thing is, particularly in Britain, people don't necessarily know the story of Jesus. They don't really know who Jesus is. And they might have heard a few fairy tales about him and a few ideas. But I think there is something happening in this time that people maybe have never, ever heard the good news about who Jesus is and what he came to do for this planet. And that is an exciting and a challenging prospect for you guys, because it means that in a way, you've got quite a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do together as a family. But it also means that that's awesome, because people can hear fresh for the first time this amazing news. And so I feel there's a great passage in Hebrews, which is a letter in the New Testament written to an early church, a young church. This is really what I feel our whole talk is trying to say. So just listen to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of people, young and old, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily stops us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And I love that, because I think that is what I want to do. That's what you've encouraged me to do, Dad. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, and then to encourage others to do, is just to run towards Jesus, to run towards his message, and to take people with you. Do you feel that?
I do. I think, you know, if you've received the baton, you can't just stand still. Say, oh, I've got the baton now.
Amen.
I'm all right.
For that. Huge word.
As soon as you've got the baton, your responsibility is to run your leg of the race. And I think in the Christian life, you can't stand still. If you try and stand still, you're actually slipping back. We have to run. We have to push into the things that God has for us. And what we want, what people like Tim and myself, who are like the older generation, over 50s, both of us, we want you guys to go beyond where we've gone. It's a bit like we want to be, someone put it, you know, can the next generation take as their floor the ceiling of the generation before them?
And you get that, because that's quite a weird image.
Yeah, all right. One generation's ceiling is another person's floor. Get beyond where we've got. In the Old Testament, you've got the story of someone who passes on his ministry, and that's Elijah. And he's called by God to anoint someone else to be a prophet after him, called Elisha. And the very first miracle that Elisha does is the very last miracle that Elijah's done. Elijah's crossed the Jordan River, he's rolled up his cloak, hit the water, it divides, and he goes across. He's kind of taken up in heaven. And then Elisha, well, have I got what Elijah had? So he rolls up the cloak, taps the water, and it opens. And they say about him, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. He's picked up the baton, but in some ways he goes beyond what Elijah did. He does even more amazing miracles than Elijah did. I think our hope here, you know, with you guys, is that you will do more than we've done to change the world.
Yeah.
But one thing that we want to give you, and again, speaking for Tim, myself, what we want to give you actually is we want to give you the church. You might think that the church belongs to people like us, and it's not got much to do with you because it's run by old people. But actually, the church really belongs to Jesus, and we're kind of stewards of it while we are of age, if you like. And the church is meant to be something that is awesome and beautiful and sacrificial and world-changing. It's meant to be a group of people that passionately love God and love one another and serve and lay down their lives for the world. It's meant to be a place where there's passionate worship, where there's care for the poor, where there's miracles happening, where there's kind of people being drawn in and helped to belong, and people who don't have a family find a family, and people who don't have a hope find a hope. And sometimes the church can look like a stuffy old thing, where it's meant to look really beautiful and really courageous. And the church that I inherited, you know, it needed to change. And it's not that, you know, I like a lot of people, the church is different from the church we inherited. We worship differently. We have a different sense about unity. We're not stuffy. We don't have to wear smart clothes to go to church and stand up and sit down and sing hymns. We don't just do church on Sundays. We realize it's for every day of the week. We don't think that church is just being an Anglican or a Baptist or a Methodist. It thinks everybody who belongs to Jesus is part of the family. We need to love and support one another. We believe we can do things like prayer on the streets. We believe we can go on mission trips all over the world. But the church is going to face challenges in the next generation, your generation, it's never faced before, as Joey said. It could be, as we get closer and closer to the time when Jesus comes back, the light gets brighter and the dark gets darker. And the light looks brighter, but it's getting darker. But the light is you.
Yeah.
It's your lives. It's your message. It's your unity. It's the way you do church. And we have to say to you, will you do it? My boss is Rob Scott Cook. When he was a young man, he had a vision that the whole of the greater Bristol area, that we could, a million people could know Jesus, that there could be 100 churches planted, each reaching a community of 10,000, that every man, woman and child in the city could have somewhere where they could hear about Jesus and come and belong. And he's kind of passed on that message to me and Tim. And what we want to say to you is, what are you going to do about Bristol?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about the UK? What are you going to do about the world? What are you going to do with your lives? Can we give it to you?
Yeah. That's massive, Dave. Thanks. And look, we're finishing up. We just want to, I think it would be great if we both prayed. And like, you know, are you up for that? Are you up for taking it on? Are you up for the baton? Because it is, I'm not going to lie, at times I've honestly felt, I don't know if I am. It's hard, it's scary, you know. And even planning this talk, I needed Dad to come and encourage me to come on, sit down and do it. And, you know, it's a funny image because I think that is what we need to be doing. But, guys, as we finish, I just want to encourage you, head home, talk, think about how you can receive the message. Are you letting people know that you want to receive it? Talk about how you can run in sync and in time with the older generation, with people around you, and how and what you're going to run onto. Go home, think about those. And I think we'll pray. What I'd like to do is I'll just pray a few lines, and then you can pray a few lines. And you can sort of just bless these guys and us and send us out, and I'll just say some words.
And talk to Tim about what you want to do with the mix as well.
Yeah.
Talk to Jerry, talk to Rachel. Say,
we need you. We need all
right,
of you.
This is for you.
Yeah.
So what's it going to be like next year?
Yeah. So I want
next time we meet.
I want to invite you just to stand with me as a sort of a sign of saying, actually, I'm kind of up for this. If you really, yeah. And just allow me, if you're up for it, just to pray over you, and then Dad, just take over. So I'm going to quote a little bit of Romans, because Romans is a book, again, by this guy Paul. Paul's life was changing. He just wanted to see the message of Jesus go everywhere. And he says, you know, how will people hear without someone preaching? And how will they preach unless they're sent? Because it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And I want to pray that, Lord, over these guys and girls here who are gathered here, just that they would literally feel sent, feel called, feel inspired to go and just run the race and talk about Jesus and live like Jesus. And that they'd be able to dialogue well with people around them. They'd be able to run onto new things and they'd be able to receive it. Lord, please inspire them right now by your Holy Spirit with love and courage and compassion for this world. Amen.
And Lord, I pray that for people like myself who are in charge of churches or leading youth groups, that we were able to get out of the way to allow other people to step into places that you've called them to, but not just to abandon them, but to get behind them with our love, with our prayers, with our money, with all kinds of things, with our comfort when things go wrong, with our applause when things go well. And I want to pray, Father God, that you would give your Spirit in power to this generation. I want to pray that this generation would be a generation that are like lights in a dark place. And the Spirit of Jesus is on them with a fire in their hearts, with power to live the Christian life in a way that's extraordinary. I ask this in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Thanks so much for giving us your time and your attention. And we're going to just worship some more, and we're going to praise God, and we're going to celebrate together. Are you up for that? We're just going to celebrate. And hopefully you're going to be continually filled and inspired. to respond. I just want you to go home and just start chatting with each other and with your churches and with your friends. And also, at some point in a bit, we're going to have a part in a song where we're going to sort of sing out a response together. So join me with that in a bit. But, yeah, for now, Colty boy, take us away.